Hi, and welcome to Vogue Uncut, the podcast that's all about celebrating the lived experience of women in Singapore and beyond. Imagine getting first dibs on Vogue's latest episodes, behind-the-scenes content, and even some chic surprises along the way. Join Club Vogue on vogue.sg/subscribe to be part of our inner circle.
Hello, and welcome to Vogue Uncut, the podcast that's all about celebrating the lived experiences of women in Singapore and beyond. We are your hosts. I'm Azrin, the digital writer at Vogue Singapore.
And I'm Emily, the associate beauty editor at Vogue Singapore.
And today's episode is one that's been circulating all over social media. You might even have seen all those TikToks about people romanticizing their own lives. And Gen Zs probably like to call it main character energy.
So, you know, main character energy, to put simply, is actually about prioritizing yourself, putting your own happiness first above everything else, even if it can come off as a little cringe, a little try hard. And here to discuss this with us is actually Pooja Arora, wellness coach and co-founder of Redefine Wellness. So Redefine Wellness is a holistic and integrative wellness center that provides programs centered around health, fitness, personal growth, and so forth. Pooja is particularly attuned to providing guidance and counsels to individuals on matters such as stress management, emotional trauma, and self-development. So all the good stuff. All of this is to say she is the perfect person to weigh in on today's topic with us. So Pooja, maybe we can start off by asking you, what do you think main character energy is?
Sure. Firstly, thank you so much for having me here. I'm really excited to discuss the main character energy topic or trend with you. So let's just start with the question you asked. What is main character energy? So at a very high level, it's about taking charge of your life. It's about being a protagonist in your own life. It's about changing the narrative that's happening around you of your life. But for me, it goes a little bit deeper, because if you want to channel in your main character energy, you have to find it first. And to find that main character energy, you have to go deeper inside and assess where are you reacting and where are you taking charge. So if you have to be a writer of your own story, are you reacting to life or are you responding to life? And when you're able to kind of work through those reactions, if you're able to work through your acceptance of yourself, if you're able to work through other people's judgment of you, you can really tap in and channel your own true self, your own internal confidence that can then bring out your main character energy. Then you can really step into who you truly are. And for me, that's the main character energy. It's about accessing who you truly are.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I do feel that it's a very big point that people do talk about, is that you can't control people's behavior. You can only control your reaction to someone's behavior. And I think having to come around to that mindset is actually where it's tricky, and that's where it's difficult. And I feel that for main character energy, for me, the definition is very much similar to yours. But I also feel that there is a misconception surrounding main character energy, and is particularly prevalent on platforms like TikTok, mostly because people do it they do mocking videos on what main character energy is, and it tends to fall into this category of like being a manic pixie dream girl, and they're like, oh, this person is so quirky, they're so cringe. And I think that's where the whole cringiness comes about it. Stepping into yourself is great. It's a beautiful process, but I think to some people it can also be seen as a little bit, you know, like it's a bit off-putting, it's a bit try hard. Yeah, and I think that's something that we should address, in the sense that how do you distinguish that? Like, how do you know that you are really stepping to yourself, or are you just faking it? Yeah, so that's something
Absolutely.
For me. Yeah,
I think the way I think about it is, the faking it is when you try to be the center of attention in a room. You walk into a room and you try to have everybody eyes on you. When you're truly stepping in yourself, you find that center within. You find inner peace, inner stillness within. You're very comfortable with what's happening around you. You're not waiting for other people's reaction. You're not waiting for likes on your videos. You're not waiting for, what did people think? What did I do? But it's about, hey, I did this. I feel this. I talk about this. And I'm very comfortable with being who this person is. Even if nobody comments on it, nobody likes it, do I still feel comfortable about it? And that is true main character energy.
Yeah,
it's coming from within.
I think that's really great, because a lot of part of these TikToks also, I mean, apart from like the cringe side of it, right? I think there's also the other side of it, which you see them sort of, you know, how in order to become the protagonist of their own lives, they're doing this like the romanticizing aspect of it is really focused on like trying to find the quiet moments in their life where they're focusing on themselves and just doing the things that make them like happy, even if it's very simple, mundane things that some people might think that, oh, isn't that just stuff you do every day, like making coffee, making your bed, and like, you know, just slapping music over it. But I feel like the, you know, the essence of that is really just like finding the time to, you know, sit with yourself and understanding who you are every morning and choosing to wake up as a new person.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think every day is a decision you make, whether you'll be with yourself or whether you'll kind of react to life. And if you're able to take that quiet time, do some self-work, do some self-reflection, identify where you go off track and how do you get back on track. Identify your triggers within you. I think what you said, I really loved it, is to find that stillness in the busy days. We all have such busy lives. Mm. But to find that moments of stillness where we can be with ourselves, that helps bring about that energy. And that can really help us keep us grounded. But I think one key thing that takes us off track is comparisons and judgments. Mm.
Ooh, that's yes, a big one.
Exactly.
That's a really big one.
So comparisons are usually internal. Oh, I'm not as good as the other person. My hair doesn't look as good. My skin's not good. My job's not good, etc. And judgments comes from outside. You are not doing it right. You are doing it wrong. You are so cringe. You are so this, right? So both of them, whether it's coming from inside or coming from outside, makes us go to the little fake stuff. Like, can I just people please and do what people want me to do? And that takes away from being the main character energy, because we're no longer the main character. We are actually a side note in somebody else's story.
Ooh, that does not sound appealing.
Exactly. It's like we really get swept up with social media and then, you know, we're just doing other things that we don't actually want to do for ourselves. Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
I think people-pleasing in particular is such a big thing in Asia, especially just because I think a lot of us are sort of taught and you know, trained to grow up to be polite. We do so many things out of politeness. When I was a kid, my parents are like, if you go to someone's house and you don't call them uncle and auntie, you are the worst human being alive. you should be flayed.
I know, right?
I think it's that's the kind of training we have, you know, growing up as a kid. And I think that builds a lot into why so many of us are people pleasers. But I think a big question that I want to ask is, how do you overcome that? How do you then set boundaries that you know are beneficial to you in a professional setting, in a personal setting? Like, what do you think about that? How do we go about it?
I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of these programs come from childhood. And how do we go about it? It's kind of on a scale, depending on how deeply those programs are embedded in your system. For some of us, awareness is enough to say, hey, you know what? I was told to call them uncle and aunties and I don't need to do it anymore. And I'm able to draw that boundary and say, no, this is not what I'm going to do. For some, even saying no is very difficult. And in my professional work, I actually train people to draw boundaries and say no. Be in front of the mirror and say no to somebody whom you've been wanting to say no to, but you can't, right? Just practice saying no. But I think sometimes it goes deeper and sometimes you need help. There is now therapeutic help, something like inner child therapy, which specifically targets these in programs that came to us through childhood. Whether it's programs which were given to us by our parents, you're not good at math, you can't do this, you're a girl, you do this, you know, all the social programming that happens. But sometimes the programming is even internal. Oh, I see my brother getting an A grade and I get only B, so maybe I'm just not good enough. Mm. Right? So sometimes the programs come from outside in childhood, sometimes it's an internal program. And these get so deep-seated that even just kind of affirming or just talking about it doesn't work. Then I would say seek help. It could be help in terms of things like energy work, meditation, but sometimes therapy really, really helps. So doing some inner child work, inner child therapy, really gets you out of that. So it's on a scale, depending on where you are. Don't be shy to do it by yourself. Don't be shy to get help.
Yeah, I do feel that it's so difficult, especially when you get into a obsessive thought of pattern or a
Absolutely.
Kind of a spiral. And that's where it's hard to sort of pry yourself out. So I do feel that it's one of the first few steps definitely that you should embark on if you're trying to set boundaries.
Absolutely.
But I think that, okay, let's say for professional boundaries, that's really easy to sort of picture in your head, right? Because professional boundaries is just kind of like your boss telling you, hey, work till 7 a.m. the next day. And then you just be like, okay, no. But for personal friendships and relationships, now I think that's where it gets tricky.
Yes.
Because when do you know that you should even be setting boundaries? Like, could you maybe give us a little, you know, a little look at where you think people should be setting boundaries in their personal relationships?
Absolutely. I think where and how the boundaries are drawn depends on the internal state of being. Mm. So, for example, if there's a friend who's going through a tough time and she calls me in at 12 in the night and say, hey, can I talk to you? And I feel a lot of love and compassion. And I was like, of course, you can talk to me. For me, that there's no need for boundary setting there. She woke me up, but that's fine. I can support her. And that's because inside, I feel good about doing so. But if she does that every day for the next 10 days, on the 10th day, I'm no longer feeling good. Yep. I'm like, I need my sleep. I'm a zombie next morning, right? So at that point, when I feel torn between, you know, when a phone call comes saying, I don't really want to pick it up, but I have to pick it up, or internally I'm torn, should I do this or not do this? That's when you need to start respecting what do you truly want. That's when you start needing to have that boundary. And you can give people a little bit of a heads up and say, hey, I'm taking your call today at midnight, but from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to a very important project. I will not be able to take a call at 12. You can call me between 8 and 9. So that's a boundary you can set. And it can be very gentle. It doesn't have to be harsh. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Right? But it can be very gentle and providing an alternate space of where we can do the connection that she's looking for can work. But to answer your specific question, it's inside. When inside you don't feel good about doing something for your friends, relatives, professionally, it's time to draw a boundary.
I mean, it's definitely like very difficult when it's people close to you, right? And people you love. And I mean, I think I personally faced so much difficulty doing that in like growing up, because I'm always someone who's helping my friends and always being there to like therapize them through different moments in their relationship, breakups, all those kind of things, right? Like there's all those things that can happen and you're basically giving out from your empty cup, right? Like you can't do it. And I think there's the other side to that, like learning how to break off and like refine your boundaries in that sense. It's something that has been difficult to do. But I think the other aspect to this is also making sure that the people you surround yourself with also understand your boundaries. They themselves will also be able to respect those boundaries. And it's a work in progress, right? Like you're telling them, you're training them to be like, oh, by the way, like I'm really tired today. Like I can't like speak to you tonight, but I'll be down for a call tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Right? Those things.
I'll talk a little bit about that, because if you have been a kind of person who have not been able to draw boundaries, then when you start setting boundaries, people who are benefiting from you not having boundaries will actually get upset. And that's the toughest part about setting boundaries. If I continue the last example, if I tell my friend I'm not be able to talk to her at midnight, she'll get really upset. You're not a true friend when I need you. You're not there. All of that stuff. And stepping into your own boundary, your own energy, your own main character energy, it's really about being okay with that. Being okay with saying, you know what, I can't pour from an empty cup. When my helping others or when my kindness is making me not kind to myself, I need to draw that boundary. And working through that trigger, because if my friends say, you're not a good friend, I'm getting triggered and then I won't draw the boundary because now I'm feeling bad about myself. But working through my trigger on, okay, if she says, I'm not a good friend, maybe I'll sit back and reflect, what does that make me feel? And I work through that. I do self-reflection. I kind of work through how is that making me feel? And then say, hey, you know what? You're not being a good friend by not respecting my boundary. And let's redefine what that friendship means to both of us. And that having that conversation post that moment of stillness, post that self-reflection is the way to draw the boundaries. But we must expect that when we start drawing boundaries, there will be some ruffled feathers around.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, those are all like difficult conversations that you sort of need to have,
absolutely,
right? Yeah. I mean, be it with your friends and like your spouses, I think even with your own parents, like that's something that is difficult to do like your own family members. I think that's probably the most difficult, like especially for us, like yes. Asian daughters.
Absolutely.
Like, how do you do that? How do you tell your mom, no, I can't do this for you right now?
Absolutely. And that takes training, that takes practice, that takes working through what you're feeling inside. And that takes really stepping into your own character energy. It's really around finding your true self. It's really around finding that inner confidence and an ability to very gently say no. No doesn't always have to be harsh.
I do think that's a really great point that you brought up, because I do feel that the delivery of how you set these boundaries are really important. Mostly just because I have met so many people and they're like, oh, I'm just brutally honest. I am just, you know, I would tell it like it is.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're not telling it like it is. You're just being kind of mean.
Yes. When people say they're brutally honest, they're usually brutal.
Yes.
Not honest.
They literally hurt you with their words. Yeah. And I think that's just such a big thing to me as well, because I do feel that, yes, boundary setting is so important to come into your own form of main character energy. But there are also people who I feel who take advantage of this and sort of weaponize all these kind of, this, I would say call this therapy speak in a sense, you know, all these concepts, they weaponize them and they're like, no, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just setting a boundary. Whereas it doesn't feel like a boundary. It just, these actions just come off as hurtful. And I was just wondering what you think about that, because it's something, I mean, we've seen it with Jonah Hill. I'm not sure if you've seen that whole conversation he had with his girlfriend. And he was like, oh, I'm so evolved and woke. I am telling you this is my boundary, but it wasn't even reasonable boundaries that she had agreed to. So I was just wondering what you think about that.
Right. So now if you move in a concept of a relationship especially, mm-hmm. boundaries should be discussed.
Ooh.
It's not a one person deciding this is the boundary.
Yep.
Right. So let's take an example to say, hey, if we are working together, relationship is not always romantic. It can be a parental relationship. It can be a colleague relationship. But if you're drawing a boundary, you can discuss it and see whether you're being kind, compassionate to the other person too. So it's kind of like a fine line between narcissism and boundary setting in that sense. But a key question to ask yourself is, are you being kind? Are you being compassionate without hurting yourself?
Right.
So are you not hurting yourself, but are you also not hurting others? And going back to the relationship thing we were discussing, it's like if suppose you're going to have a discussion around, say, hey, we're going to meet and date, say, 3 times a week. And then you suddenly one fine day, I'm drawing a boundary, it's 1 time a week. It is not taking into account the other person's feeling. So if you can sit down and give reasons to say, hey, you know what, I have a really bad, really intense project coming up for this particular week. I can't meet 3 times a week. I can just only meet one. How does that make it sound for you? And if the other person says, no, I really need to meet 3 times, what can we do to meet in the middle? So a boundary cannot be a border. It can't be just, I've decided it for everybody and that is it. So it has to be something where you figure out what you want, but then work with people on what they want and get into a relationship that's a bit of a give and take. What the issue with people pleasing, it's only give, no take.
Yes.
The issue with narcissism, it's only take, no give. So somewhere in between where you can do the give and take is where healthy boundaries come into play.
There is a happy middle. You just need
middle.
To find
Absolutely.
It. Yeah, I know, because I think you mentioned it. It has to be a conversation. And I think that's the issue with a lot of people with setting boundaries. It's not a conversation. People tend to be like, this is it. You either take it or leave it. And it's a bit, it's just, it's crazy, because how are you supposed to react to that? Yeah, which is just, yeah.
But I don't know about you guys. I mean, for sure, this being able to find a happy middle also leads us to find the people that we want to attract. Like,
Absolutely.
It's definitely, you know, being able to find those people that are able to be flexible with us and, you know, talk with us about, discuss the right things and discuss the correct boundaries really helps us to attract that energy that we want to attract. And I think that's also partially a big topic of like what we're here for today, which is, you know, attracting the people who are going to be like-minded like us and also just being able to emulate that main character energy with us.
Absolutely. If you are the writer and director of your own life, you choose your actors, right? So if you are writing your own life, you're the main character, you're directing your life, then figure out who you want to play what part, right? And of course, with our parents, we can't choose that.
Unfortunately.
But with our friends, with our families, with our extended relatives, with our colleagues, we can choose who would allow us to come into a state of happiness, state of stillness, state of joy, state of support, and for whom the relationship is a bit more toxic, or they're trampling on our boundaries always. But there's something also that happens at an energetic level. So as we find that inner confidence, inner stillness amongst us, as we do that inner work, as we figure out what's happening inside and step into our own power, own confidence, our vibration changes, our energy changes. So the people around us, I kind of think of it as like a tango, like, you know, the old-fashioned dance moves, or not old-fashioned, but like, you know, a ball moves. So in any relationships, we are doing that dance. One person steps, another person steps. The dance might be dysfunctional, but that's still a dance. Like, for example, your boss says, stay late tonight. You grumble, 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 but that still happens. Next year, the same thing. Next year, the same thing, right? But when we choose to kind of do that self-work and decide, hey, I'm going to tell the boss, have a conversation, and say, I cannot stay late for more than 2 days a week, right? So you've changed your dance step. Now, your boss has an option to either follow your dance step, accept, find a different way, or have a deeper conversation on why that needs to happen. There has to be a change that'll happen, and then you might not be in that company any longer. Either you might get fired. Or you might find some place which works with your schedule, which will be the one you attract to now your revised energy to say, hey, I don't want to work 5 days late. I only want to work 2 days or 3 days later. And the other days, I want to actually be home and spend more time with myself or my family. So now you'll find a new job that'll reflect that energy within you. And that's same with our friends. That's same with our relationships. We will attract people who match our energy systems. So you're absolutely right on that.
But how do you know you're putting out the right energy that is good for you? You know, because I feel that people, when you're in a maybe a difficult, you're going through a difficult time, right? And the energy you put out may not necessarily be the energy that you should be attracting or you want to be attracting. So how do you know that you're putting out the right energy?
I think it goes back to that authenticity and inner peace and inner confidence. All of us go through ups and downs, right? But even in our downs, do we feel authentic, right? Are we kind of, sometimes some people even monetize the downs. Oh no, I'm so bad, et cetera, right? So do we feel authentic in our interactions, even if it's an interaction to say, hey, you know what, I'm too low today, I don't want to come for dinner. But do we feel authentic in that interaction? Do we feel comfortable with ourselves after that interaction? That's when we know we've put in the right energy. Another really good place to look at is our reactions. So when people say something, how are we reacting inside? There is this fake calmness, fake chill. There's one real calmness, real chill, right? If somebody says, hey, the dress you're wearing doesn't look nice on you. How do you react inside? Do you really don't care? Or do you really care? It's like, oh, is it, what am I wearing? But then you put a fake persona saying, no, I don't care what you said, right? So when you do the second, the energy you're putting down out is a fake energy.
Right.
But when somebody says, either you care or you don't care, even if you care, it's like, oh, why do I care so much? Then it's a point of self-reflection. But if you really, truly don't care, that's when you're within yourself and say, you know what? I'm comfortable with this dress. I am who I am, and this dress makes me feel and look good. And that's my energy. And that's when you're putting out more authentic energy out there.
I definitely understand that. And I feel that a really notable example for this is actually Taylor Swift. No, think about it. Okay, first of all, I would just like to say that this recording is being recorded on the... This podcast is being recorded on the 27th of February, which means Taylor Swift is going to be here in less than a week, okay?
She's excited.
I am very excited because I'm going to be there on opening night. But I would like to point out that, I mean, just someone like Taylor Swift, for instance, when you mentioned monetizing your downs, see, that was how I felt about Taylor when she did her Reputation era. So I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with the Reputation era, but that was like Taylor goes dark. That was Taylor gets called a snake by Kanye West, and Taylor is like, let me capitalize on this and make a whole album about my dark era, which admittedly, genius move. I'm like, you go, girl, get that bread. But also, I felt that it wasn't authentic to her true self. It was a different direction for her music, but I think it showed through even in the sales and the way the critics panned it, just because it's not really who she is. I think people could tell.
And you could feel it in the album. Like, yeah, the first half of the album was a lot angrier, and there were words that were just being said that, like, okay, where is she going with this?
Yes. She literally said, "Look what you made me do." That's literally a track. And I do feel that the energy just wasn't great, because it wasn't her coming into her own. It wasn't her being true to herself. And I believe right after that, was it when she did Lover?
Lover, yeah. I think Lover was a clear case of, like, she was happy and she was just going with whatever, like, it was all pink and bubblegum pop and, like, you know, and she was clearly happy with the relationship that she was in at that time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think even... like, what you're saying is absolutely right. But even if we are dark and we are able to call out our low depressed feelings without blaming, which is, I think, where she went a bit wrong, in my opinion. Yes. But we can, or where Hollywood goes wrong, not just us. But without blaming, without finger pointing, with focusing on what we're feeling. So, if, for example, somebody does something bad to you, instead of saying, "You did this," that's kind of externalizing the issue, then you're no longer the main character. Whoever did it is the main character. Yeah. But if you want to keep the main character energy, you're saying, "Hey, this happened to me. I'm upset. I am sad. And I'm going to do something about it next to not be upset and sad." So it's not about blaming. It's not about victimizing yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's about acknowledging something bad happened, allowing that feeling to be in you. Mm. So main character is not all happy and bubbly. It's still being authentic in your sadness, and then taking steps, taking actions to get out of it.
Ooh.
And for me, that then is true main character energy, because we can't expect anybody to be happy 24/7.
Yes.
We will go through ups and downs, and being authentic in that down as well, reflecting on what you're feeling, acknowledging those feelings, and then working through those feelings is really when you really step into your own energy, your own authentic main character energy.
I mean, I think a great example about that, for that, like, in recent times would definitely be Barbie. I think America Ferrera's character is, like, clear case of that, right? She went into depression. She had, like, the physical, you know, imagery of that was cellulite. But apart from that, like, as in, just the entire movie just taught us how to, you know, sort of find our inner joys and, like, be happy with who we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. And even if you look beyond that, like, all that happened with Oscars, right, with Margot Robbie, and she not getting any awards and nominations and all of that. But they still held steady strong. Like, if you looked at them, I mean, they came across, they were still in their character saying, "I'm not going to let somebody's nominations bother me."
Yeah, because they shouldn't. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
They have created a world record, and they're going to stay in that particular truth and not let perceptions on why that didn't happen affect them. And I think that's really stepping into that energy.
Yeah. Are there any... okay, so for someone, let's say, who is completely unaware of their main character energy and are thinking of ways of how to step into their main character energy, what would you recommend they do?
I think the first thing to do in that would be to, if they're completely unaware, never done any self-work, first thing would be to step back and see what are their values. And a good way to do that is actually to look around and see who are the people they respect, they look up to, and what value do they kind of personify. And with that, you can start making a list of, these are the value systems that I respect. And from that, you can say, okay, these are the value systems that I would like to imbibe. And even in that, you can make a priority list and say, hey, honesty is my top value. Being on time could be another. There could be few ways or quirkiness, or they could be a little bit off here and there. But you make a list of that value system. Then you take a step back and do some self-work. You go into stillness. You can do meditation. You can do some quiet self-reflection and say, am I really imbibing those values? Am I really living those values? And if not, why not? If I try to do so, where do I go off track? Right? So if I want to stay with my honesty of, I will not lie, and then my friends say, well, I look good in this dress. I'm not able to reply.
You look beautiful. What do you mean?
But maybe.
Another color.
So at what point science, do we going off value systems, right? This was a small example, but there are bigger examples, right? I value family time, but there's a really important project for which I've been pulled into. Now I can't spend as much time with the family. And these are those puts and calls we have to make every day. So we start kind of figuring out where do we go off track? And then we can start looking into what are the reasons for it to go off track. Where do I get triggered? It could be, as I said, an internal voice. It could be, I would really want to go and tell this person that they look, that I would like to go out for a date with them, say in a romantic relationship. But I feel they'll reject me because I'm not as pretty enough or as good enough, right? And that is preventing my value of honesty in being able to approach this person. So that could be an internal self-talk that takes us off track. It could be circumstances or situations that takes us off track, or it could be other people that can take us off track. And when we start kind of making a list of where are we going off track, we have what we call our triggers. So we have a list of our triggers that's kind of making us go off track from what we would like to be, the values we would like to live. And then it comes to the point of how do we start addressing those triggers. So some of those triggers can be addressed by things like meditation, energy work, self-reflection. A quiet walk sometimes is enough, right? Kind of thinking about it and releasing it. Breath work is fantastic. So you think about that trigger and do some quiet breathing. So breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. Sometimes that's enough for the triggers to go. Sometimes, as I said, you need help. So if the triggers are really, really deep-rooted, get help. Reach out to somebody who can help you and say, hey, you know what? I would love to go for that promotion, but I keep feeling like an imposter. I'm not good enough. So get somebody to help you work through that because that's a deeper trigger. And that's when you can start stepping into your own authenticity, your own main character energy.
I mean, what I'm hearing is really like, it's really a process, right? Like it's something that we can't really find the next day. You can't wake up with it and be like, okay, like today is the day. Yes, I am the main character. Like it's not as easy as that. And I really loved what you said about like, you know, getting help and, you know, just going for therapy, because I think that's something that a lot of people sort of deny themselves. And it's something that it's, I mean, I'm sure it's another conversation for another time, but it's definitely a way to find some, you know, inner peace within. And
inner resources.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Main character energy for me is really all about tapping your inner resources. Everyone has an inner resource or many inner resources, and how do we tap on that versus looking for other people for resources? But I just had a thought around when you said that it's a process. And yes, for me, getting into a main character energy is really about a transformation, like a caterpillar kind of transforms into a butterfly. So we start off being a caterpillar, we go into this cocoon, and then we molt. And the process we're talking about is this molting of transforming. It's reflection. It's a quiet process. But once that process finishes, we have this beautiful butterfly. And then as we go out into the world, we are flying, we are free. We are adding beauty to self and we're adding beauty to others around us.
Yes.
And just that that's the main character energy.
Just that the process is really painful.
Kind of
it's really
painful.
And you know, it's a lot of inner work.
It doesn't have to be painful. It can be enlightening as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's it's just a process. I think a very big part of it is just having to be patient with yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think with a lot of people, I mean, for me in my case, I feel that even when I'm doing a lot of inner work, trying to like, you know, develop myself, trying to grow and reflecting on myself, it's because when I don't see results fast enough, then that's when I go off track. And that's when I go, you know, I go crazy or like I completely like abandon my plans. And I think that's a really important thing that I think that should be reiterated, is that it's a process and we should all be patient with ourselves.
Absolutely.
So easy to get sidetracked. So like honestly, the tips about like just even writing down what your own values are and like probably just waking up and reading those every morning probably help, you know, us to kind of find our end goal. Yeah.
So I normally say, if you wake up, you make a decision on how you want your day to be. And then you, when you stay rooted in that decision, if you've decided you're going to have a good day, even if your coffee is late 10 minutes and you're running late to a meeting, you keep reminding yourself, I've decided I've had a good day. I'm going to have a good day. And you'll start seeing those frustrations and that chatter start slowing down. Absolutely, absolutely. But to your point earlier about it being a process and painful process, it doesn't always have to be painful. It can actually be quite a nice learning experience. Mm. And yes, there'll be times when you get frustrated. That's why it's good to either find a buddy, right? So somebody you're working with, or find a group of people who kind of think similarly. And there's kind of almost like a support group in that journey. Mm. Or as I said, get help. But having people around, to your point earlier as well as Rin, who can support you in that journey really, really helps. Mm-hmm. And when you're supporting each other's journey, you end up in a place where you have 5, 6, 7 main characters emerging together. And then you make a Friends episode.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah.
I love it. It's ensemble.
Exactly. Because if you look at Friends, we didn't have one main character. We had 6. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful because that was the case. Yeah. So similarly, having a tribe with you, who each of you are encouraging to step into their own power, mm-hmm. you'll find a beautiful place to work, support each other, kind of grow with each other, pull each other when you want to give up, till the point you're all coming into that energy.
I totally hear what you're saying with that. But also, how, if it's in a group setting, you know, all of you are trying to strive towards having main character energy, how do you prevent yourself, from instance, from becoming the main character of someone else's story? Yeah, because, you know, I think that happens sometimes.
Yeah, it's very easy to delve into like narcissism. And
Absolutely, it is. But I think it goes back into your own value system. Mm. And if you keep true to the value system of kindness and compassion, because most of us have some of that, right? So the kindness and compassion within us. If you kind of think and step back and ask yourself, have I been able to give joy, support, care to others in the day, right? Not in a way that stepped on my priorities, but in a way that worked all of us together. So if you keep going back to your value systems, the values of kindness, the values of compassion, you should be able to kind of stay within the zone and not step that fine line into narcissism. So exactly to your point, main character is not about I want this and everyone else I don't care about. It's about, hey, this is what I would like, and how do I achieve this? How do I step forward but bring everybody with me? And I think that if you keep that in mind, especially if you're working in a group, that can really work well.
I think it's about self-awareness as well, right? Like, you have to be aware. Like, I think that's an issue with a lot of people, especially, you know, when we mentioned with narcissism. I feel that the root of narcissism is a lack of self-awareness.
Absolutely.
It's like, okay, I'm the most important person in my life. Like, it's quite different from being the protagonist of your own life and saying that I'm the most important person. It's a very different energy.
I am the most important person in your, life.
Like, oh dear.
In everybody's life.
But I guess, like, I mean, it's maybe the easiest example would be like how we find our partners. Like, a romantic relationship is definitely something that is a clear example of this, right? Like, how you sort of you're sort of always flitting that line between the two of you, and like, okay, like, you know, I'm giving you space here, and then here it's my turn to shine, that kind of thing. Yeah, so there's different aspects of that.
Absolutely. So I think as you step, especially if you're looking at romantic partnership, it's more important to have both of you shine, because if one of you shines brighter always, it will at some point start building up resentment, it'll start building up bitterness in a relationship. So again, it boils down to having conversation about communication to say, hey, what is that way that we can support each other? How can you support me shining, and how can I support you shining? And having that conversation, and then kind of being very open to feedback. I think a big part of stepping into your main character energy is how well you take feedback. So if you're not taking feedback, you're back in the narcissist category. But say, hey, we agreed that, hey, this is your turn, this time to shine. And then I'm already feeling jealous when that person is shining. And the other person says, hey, you committed to do this and you're not doing this anymore. And being open to that feedback and reflecting back and saying, hey, that's true. I am not fulfilling my part of the commitment. And then again, going back into that self-work triggers, and why am I not doing that? And then coming back and then stepping back into that role. So there's a bit of tango here again, but allowing that feedback mechanism and open communication, be it in a romantic relationship, be it even in a friendship, be it in families, plays a pivotal role to allow yourself to not be narcissistic, stay in your main energy role, but also support others to step into their main energy role.
I guess it's also about wanting to support others. Like, I think it definitely goes down to that, right? Like, it boils down to that. Like, once you're comfortable with yourself, like, you definitely want other people to shine in whatever they do because, yeah, we're all different and, yeah, it's all quite...
But you have to be comfortable and happy with yourself first to reach that stage. So I think that's where everybody is going through a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah. Like, finding that balance with everyone. I mean, that's also why I guess we don't really find... that there are certain people we just can't match with, and we have to be okay with that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. There will be people you don't work with, you don't connect with energetically, and that's absolutely fine. So you have to find your tribe, and the part of being the main character's energy is being okay with that. Yes. If your tribe's a bit of this nerdy, crazy people, absolutely comfortable with that and be okay with that and say, that's my tribe.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, because that's also when you're the happiest, right? Like, I mean, Emily might find her, you know, happy people in like her Genshin and Honkai games.
What?
I will out myself too. I mean, I find my happy people in like board games on the weekends and all that. So yeah.
Oh my god! I was just sitting here. I was exposed. I was like, where is she going with this? Oh, okay. staying with that, reminding myself to stay with that. Yeah, but I think that's amazing. And I think all these tips is just great for anyone who is looking to step into their main character energy. And yeah, this was such a fruitful session. Yeah, thank you, Pooja. It's just...
Yeah, it was great. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
I hope everyone listening to this podcast attempts to not be a narcissist. And, you know, try your best to step into your main character energy and utilize the tips that Pooja has so helpfully given us to do better, because I know all of us here are trying to. So yeah, it's great. Thank you so much, Pooja.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun having this conversation with you. And if there's anything else, let me know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pooja. This is great.
Subscribe to Vogue Singapore to keep up with Vogue Uncut and the latest news from our editors reporting daily on the latest fashion, beauty, and culture. More information available at your fingertips at vogue.sg/subscribe.